All right, we're ready to get going. Make your way back to your seats. Let me say good morning to everybody who is online. Welcome to Colwood Church. Great to have you here as well. Good morning, everybody. My name is Sean, one of the pastors here on this team, and I'm glad that you're here on this weekend. Before we jump into what we're about to talk about this morning, just one great thing that's happening in the life of our church. We have just recently hired somebody else to our team, and we want to have the opportunity to introduce her to you. We were looking for a part-time administrative assistant because my wife decided to leave something about the boss and changed her jobs and something like that. But we are super stoked though, and I want to introduce her to you, but we have hired Maggie Mojica as a part of our team. So Maggie, I'm going to get you to stand right here. She's right over here. Maggie, step out and come up just a little bit forward here. I know everybody in the balcony is like, who are you talking about? Who are you seeing? This is Maggie, everybody. So when you call the church, it will be her voice. When you walk through the doors, it's going to be her face. And so we hope that you will introduce yourself to her. She's got a large learning curve in front of her, but there's lots of life here in the church. And so Maggie, we're stoked that you're with us, and we're excited for the journey that's ahead. This morning, I want to ask you, have you ever had an experience with the adverb why before? Have you ever experienced the word why in some sort of capacity? I often think that when it comes to the word why, children are really good at it. Have you ever noticed this before? So if I were to give you a silly type of an illustration here this morning, it would be me towards my children once when they were younger. And it's something like this, you know, I love you. And then they look at you and they're like, why? You know, like, well, you know, it's because you're so cute and your cute little smile and dimples on your face. You're so perfect. And then they look at you again and they're like, why? Well, you know, your mother and I thought it would be really neat to get together one night and have a child. And it's, no, we don't say that to them at that stage, right? But you're like, and they look at you, it's like, well, why? And it's like, should we just give you back to wherever you came from? And you do that. So silly. But then, you know, you get to other examples, like you have a meal together with your family, and at the end of the meal, you look at your children, and you're like, I'd really appreciate for you to clean the dishes and clean up the mess. And they look at you, and they're like, well, why? And you're thinking, seriously? Anyway, but like, you're like, well, your mom and I, we worked all day. We were the ones that actually, more her than I, but like, we put this meal together for you. You're fed, you're satisfied. So we want you to clean the dishes. Well, why? And you're thinking, well, the reason we had children was we wanted to promote child labor. And, you know, like, and they're like, well, why? And it's like, you want to ground them for the rest of their lives, but you're going to hear the word, why? It makes no sense. So, and the funny thing about this word why, has anybody ever not received the answer they were looking for when the situation came of why? How many of you stood in front of your parents and they looked at you and they gave you that answer, and that answer that irritated, drove you nuts to no end was because I said so? How many of you experienced that? How many of you like it? Yeah, nobody likes that except the parents in the room, right? Like all of these things that are happening. But I know that starting with why can definitely be a very helpful framework for a lot of things in our lives. But what I've noticed is I've shared more disappointment in not getting the answer to my why, and so I've reframed. And I'm going to encourage us today to reframe the why to the what now. It's sometimes when I don't get my why answer, it's like, okay, but in light of everything that I have just heard or learned or I've been taught, my question and my framework now becomes, well, what? What do I do with this, and what am I going to take steps moving forward? See, we have just launched a brand new series called Made for More. And if you were not here last week, we launched it. This is the theme for our year. We've got these cool t-shirts. You can pick those up in the Welcome Center at the end if you want. If you haven't got your bracelet yet that says Made for More on it, make sure you pick them up before you leave today. They're gifts to you. So we want you to, but it's about being made for more in the context of our relationships. We're looking at our relationships and we're saying, this year, how could we dig in a little bit deeper with that which is around us? Our society is telling us one thing, but God is saying, listen, your relationships are really important to me, so we're going to take some work around that and do it. We've made this a suggestion to us is like, we're not asking you to do more when we say you're made for more. We're asking you to be more. Where there are things that can begin, and I'm going to frame or bring some framework around that a little bit this morning as well. Our theme verse that we're looking at is John chapter 10, verse 10, where it says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. None of us want that. But Jesus' purpose to give them a rich and a satisfying, say it with me, life. That word life in the Greek is the word zoe. And zoe life is different than other expressions of life that we see in the New Testament in the Greek language. In fact, there are three of them that are quite dominant. There's the bios, which is about your physical life. The fact that you are alive, lungs are pumping the air and the oxygen. There's the psuche, which is your psychological, the emotions, the feelings. But in John 10:10, our theme verse, we get this word called zoe. And it is a deep satisfaction and fulfillment that can only be filled in God. And so we're going to look at this idea of life and how do we bring life to our relationships around us. And to do that, we're going to kind of go with these three words on the back of my t-shirt, which could be yours soon today too, the Connect, Grow, Serve. And all of September, we're going to take a look at how you have been made for more connection. You have been made for more when it comes to your growth, and you've been made for more when it comes to your serving. So we're going to look at that. But specifically today, we're going to start with that you have been made for connection, both with God and with people. And this is important for us. And what I'm going to ask you to do this morning with me is I want you, because I know some of you are thinking, I've been made for more for my connection with others, and you're like, why? Because I don't want to do that. I'm asking you to shift from your why to what now? Because I'm going to build something theologically here today from Scripture that I think makes sense for what God wants us to do in being made for connection with God and others. To do that today, we're going to pray, and then we're going to turn to the Word of God, and we're going to let that speak to us today. So join me in prayer today. So Jesus, thank you. And over these next moments, speak more life to us. I pray for that zoe, that you would come and move again through your word. Speak to us, we pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to take us right to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We can't go any further back than this. And this is the framework of what we want to do. It says this, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. The Spirit of God in Hebrew is the word ruach. Turn to your neighbor, don't spit on them, but say that word, ruach. It's a beauty. Is the breath of God, that at the very beginning, the Holy Spirit was hovering, and he breathed, he ruach, over the entire world. That same word ruach was the exact same word, actually, from the book of Ezekiel that I used earlier this morning, too. When the Spirit of God breathed onto the dry bones, he ruached. And yet, here is that same expression in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. I need us to see this. This is the beginning place if we're going to talk about relationship, period, is that all relationship, all life, it begins with God. It shows us here in Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2, nothing exists without the relationship of God towards his people. If we were to go further into the chapter, verses 26 and 27, it says, then God said, let us make man make human beings in our image to be like us. And then they will do a bunch of different things. And then he kind of takes it over to this one. So God created human beings in his own image. And in the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Did you notice the language of verse 26? So God says, let us make them in our image. Us. It's plural. It's not singular. What God is showing us even from the very beginning as well is that he is there. His Son Jesus Christ is there, and the Holy Spirit of God is there. It is known as the Trinity. And at the beginning of it all, the Trinity, who are in great relationship with one another, hover over the earth, they ruach together, and this is what comes out of it. It's pretty fantastic when we look at it. In Genesis 1:31, God says that he looked over everything that he had made, and he saw that it wasn't just good, but it was very good. See, like when God comes to his creation and knowing what he wanted to do, he does this. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it shows us that the Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground, and here it is again. He breathed the breath, he ruach of life. The word life there is chayim. It's Hebrew. It means life. It is the root derivative of the word bios and zoe from the New Testament. So although we've fast-forwarded to pull out of John chapter 10, verse 10, at the very beginning of it all, the chayim is the life that God wanted to breathe into people. The Creator, in the bounty of creation, the things that he made, the birds, the mountains, everything within it. You want to know what the Creator of the universe wanted most? It was human beings. He wanted you. In fact, it wasn't complete until he had humans. See, today you may be sitting in this space, you may be at home, wherever you're listening from, you may feel rejected by people in this life. You may feel that nobody wants you, that you have been discarded by society. But when I look at the lens of Scripture, it starts here. God wants to hang out with you. He's actually pretty fond of you. So much so that he decided to send his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross. The fullness of the relationships that he wants for you and I today. This is why you were made for more today, is to have this relationship with God. Relationship that is zoe, that is deep, and it is life-giving for all of us. And consider this. Like, Adam is alone with God in this beautiful garden, apparently. He's got everything that he needs, and he's in this relationship with the Lord. What else could you want? What else more is there? At the beginning, God created a relationship between himself and humanity, and it was fulfilling. But it all starts with the vertical. It all starts with our relationship with God, you and God. So in light of that, some of us are like, well, why would God want to do that? Change the why to the what now? So I'm asking you, what do you do with this? What do you do with this knowledge that at the beginning, God wanted you, he wanted humans to be in a relationship? What do I do with this? Now, this may seem like a really weird pivot, but in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, we got to take it, and this verse is very important for us today to build the case. It says this, now Adam had sexual relations with his wife, Eve, and she became pregnant. That's a great verse, right? Why in the world, Sean, are you now wanting to talk about sex? This is important because you see a word there for the word no, and it is yada. Somebody say yada. Perhaps you've heard the phrase yada, 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 which is mindless speech. But yet the original word yada means to know something and to know it very intimately. It's why it's tied to sexuality. And we know this about sexuality and this idea of yada in sexuality. It is best met in the confines of marriage, not outside of it. So when you are intimate with somebody, yada begins to come into play. But I'm telling you that yada is best expressed in the confines of marriage because of the biblical ideas and thoughts around it. Several other times, though, in the Old Testament, this word yada expresses itself. It shows up. In particular, here's one out of Daniel chapter 11, verses 32, and it talks about those who have sinned and violated against the covenant of God. And it says this, but the people who, what does it say? Yada, their God, will be strong and will resist him. See, what God has done from Genesis chapter 4 and taking a word that we have applied to sexual intimacy, God has now taken it and he's applied it to his relationship with you and I to himself. This is very important. What God is looking for is he is looking for yada with you and I. He is looking for the intimacy of relationship that he loves to have. This word yada should be describing the relationship that should exist between you and God. Yada. Do you yada God today is the question. And you need to know yada God, not just know intellectually about him. Those are two different things. Some of us in this room, you have an idea of God. You've got this knowledge, good guy, sent his son, Jesus Christ. But then there's that ability when you know and you yada God because you've been in relationship with him. And he desires intimacy with you. Here's the thing. When you think of intimacy with God, what comes to your mind? Think about that. Don't yell it out. I'm not looking for that. But when you think of intimacy with God, what comes to your mind? Chances are, some of us in this space today, you're going to start talking to me about your to-do list. Well, I probably should read my Bible more, which you're probably right. I mean, that's a good thing. Or maybe I should pray more, another to-do thing. Or I should maybe share with my neighbor and all good things to do. But remember, I'm sharing with us from the position of, I'm not asking you to necessarily do more. I'm asking you to be. And so when you think of intimacy with God, what could you be with him? I have four suggestions for you to consider today. And what I'm asking you to is to take away one. Is there something within this being list that you could apply with your relationship with God? Because this vertical relationship matters for him. The first one is this, availability. How could you make yourself available to God? I have the privilege of being married to a very beautiful woman. And if I don't make myself available to Lisa, if I'm just like, nah, we're married, the ring is on, I don't have to pay attention to you anymore, how do you think that relationship's gonna go? And yet, when it comes to God, how available are you to him? Are there other things that take the priority of your schedule and your time? And your availability is so minimalistic that God can't really do a whole lot with you there? Perhaps our being in our connections with God needs to focus on availability in this next season. Maybe. Or maybe the next thing that you would look at is quality. And what I notice about quality in our lives is, have you noticed that we're a pretty distracted generation these days? These little gadgets that ping at you all the time about everything under the sun, including your dog taking a walk on your lawn. It's crazy at how much stuff is being thrown to us. But what would it look like in your relationship and connection with God in this next season if you actually gave him some quality time? And I'm asking you to ask yourself, how distracted are you when it comes to your relationship with God? The third thing I see talks about integrity. And you may find that this is an odd one to place into a list, but the reality is where is the depth of your honesty and sincerity before the Lord? Or are you masking who you are because you don't want to offend him or you don't want to bother him? Listen, God can take anything that you throw at him, but he is looking for the integrity of our heart that if we are going to be in relationship with him, if we are going to yada with God, how about the integrity of our lives? Last thing is loyalty. You know, loyalty today signifies manifest devotion. It means you're steadfast. In your relationship with God, how loyal are you? Or are you cheating on him with something or somebody else? And there are many things here that we can look at. And so over this year, we want to build your relationship with God. A couple of things that we're going to do over this next little while, especially in the month of October, we're going to do a series on wholeness. And in this series of wholeness, we're going to do a character sketch on this gentleman. His name is Moses. But we're going to talk about some things in Moses' life that are important for some of us. Number one, identity. Some of us really struggle with our identity even today. We're going to look at that and we're going to get a picture of it. Some of us, we're living in this world where we can't forgive. We don't want to forgive. What does that mean when it comes to the wholeness of God? We're going to actually look at our pasts. How excited are you for that? Because you have to identify your past in order to go forward in the wholeness that God has for you. Some of our pasts, we just like to tuck underneath a rug and walk away from it. But I believe wholeness requires these things of us. January, we're going to spend a series around the person of the Holy Spirit of God, the same one that ruached at the beginning of the book. We're going to look at what that means, because if you think that you could do this relationship with God without the presence of the Holy Spirit, you are mistaken today. I want to introduce you to a gentleman whose name is Cliff Power. Cliff Power is the executive director of Extreme Outreach Society here in our city. Cliff is a beautiful man who has a heart of trying to connect people to God in very deep and profound ways. What they do is they work with disadvantaged kids, teenagers, and families. They are working with scenarios of poverty, addiction, and homelessness. But what Cliff and his team are doing are consistently bringing hope, which we would say is Jesus Christ, to the people of our city. And we started to hear the stories around what Cliff and the Extreme Outreach Society were doing. And I don't know if you remember this, but a couple months ago, we celebrated 50 years as a church, right? And we did this little drive called 50 for 50, and we started to raise funds to distribute back to our community. What I want you to know today is that 50 for 50 became friends with Extreme Outreach Society and what Cliff is doing here. This summer, we had the opportunity, because Cliff was wanting to take teenagers who had never been to a camp that would be Christ-centric before in their entire lives. I spoke with Cliff last week, and this last summer, we were able to send 55 students to camp where they were able to connect with God, many surrendering their lives to Jesus, all because of your generosity in 50 for 50. I think you should give yourselves a hand with that. It's brilliant. See, Cliff and his team, they have a desire to connect people with God. And through the acts of this church, kids are meeting Jesus because of what you've done. Why? It's not about the why. It's about what. What do we do with this? God loved us so much that he made us. He wants to hang out with us. He sent his son to redeem us so that we could lead other people towards Jesus as well. And the best part about this today is that's just the vertical part. I mean, you are made for connection with God. But then our story actually gets a little bit more intriguing, because in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, God chimes in again and he says this: "It is not good for the man to be alone." Men, say amen if you believe that today. All right, that was super not convincing, guys. And that was your moment, actually. Believe this or not. So let's try this again. God said that it is not good for the man to be alone. Amen. You're a little more convinced today. I hope your sleep goes well tonight. Anyway, but this is interesting to me, because what God now has done with the ruach and the breathing of the Hayim into mankind, vertical relationship, he now transitions it to the horizontal connection with others. And if I'm thinking this, I'm like, pump the brakes, God, for just one second. Adam is living at large in the world all by himself and God. You would think that that would be pretty sufficient, would you not? And God looks at him and he says this: "It's not enough for you, Adam, to be alone. So I'm going to make this person for you, another human being." And I find this interesting, actually, because, and please don't theologically misunderstand me, God is enough for anybody in this room today. He is enough for your life. But what God in his divine wisdom knew was that he was not enough just for Adam, so he decided to create human beings around him. Let that sink in for a second. Adam and God had everything they needed, and yet God himself was like, "I need you with somebody else." This is not a call now that everybody here needs to be married. That's not what this is about. What this is about is God saying, your connection to human beings is that vital to me as much as this one is with me. So whether you are single in this room today, or you desire to stay single, or even to be married, or you are married, or you are divorced or widowed, here's the deal. God still desires for you to be in relationship with other people. And he did it at the very beginning, and he has not changed his mind since. He speaks to Adam's loneliness. He speaks to his social isolation. He says that's not going to be healthy for you to move forward. And he brings humanity, other people. And we know this about humanity, is that we all have two basic human needs. The first one is attachment. Studies will show us that if a child does not have physical touch within 48 hours of birth, they could potentially die, because they need attachment. They need that human stimulation. And so God, at the very beginning, places it into these little bundles of joy, and it doesn't change for the duration of your life. You are a people who have been made for attachment, and it will never change. The second thing that we see as a human need for us today is not just the attachment, but the authenticity. And so that same little baby way over here whines at the very beginning. Air enters to their lungs. They let it out. They let you know they're either hungry or change my diaper. And they express themselves because that's what authenticity does. And guess what? Authenticity never deviates from the path of your life either. You have to be a people who express yourself and are able to bring your authentic self. And the problem is that when we feel that we are violated in trying to be our authentic self, we walk away from the attachment. And it's a bad place to be. Now, the interesting part about us human beings, and we're quite interesting, right? Don't you think? I mean, look at the person beside you, and you'll probably shake your head. Yeah, very interesting person. But the thing is that when it comes to this relationship thing, we all have stuff to say about it. We all have our opinions. But this is what I need you to do with me today. I need you to turn and look at the person sitting beside you. If there's three of you single, find somebody. Just look at somebody. And I want you to say this to them. I want you to speak this over them. You are not the problem. Go ahead. Let them know. You are not the problem. I know some of you feel like you're lying right now, but like, get over that. You are not the problem. Now say this to them. Look at them. I am. That felt better. So God has started it with vertical relationship, and he's taken it horizontally to human beings and our relationships there. And the problem is, the problem is you. The problem is me, and here's why. You and I were really good at taking this relationship thing and sabotaging it. Many of us were saboteurs, and sometimes we do it intentionally, and sometimes we don't. Pew Research did some really good work, and I'm going to pick this up in a later series, but I just want to give you a snapshot today when it comes to the self-sabotage of relationships, because perhaps today you will identify with one of these five statements I'm about to throw at you. Remember I said this is not about doing, this is about being. And if you are being something, there is a way to change the be, and I want you to see. Perhaps today you are the person who has a fear of getting hurt or being abandoned. We're going to look at that over the next little while. Perhaps you have trust issues that are often linked to past negative experiences. We're going to look at that too. Perhaps you have excessively high or even unrealistic expectations. I can't wait to talk about this one because we all have it. Perhaps you have a poor self-esteem today, which actually feeds into our relationships. Or perhaps today you just have a lack of relationship skills. And so when we look at our church in February and March of next year, we're going to do a church-wide group study on how we should have proper relationship skills so that we could be better friends to one another, only because Jesus Christ has asked us to do that. I mean, we have this ability to sabotage relationships. And so again, if God is saying, listen, I've made you for vertical relationship with me and horizontal relationship for other people, why do we get in the way? Because we're fickle people. That's what we do. I love Tim Keller's framework around a whole relationship, and he says this: to be loved and not known is comforting but superficial. To be known and not loved is terrifying, but to be loved and known is like being loved by God. And this is what God is asking us to be as we approach this next season in front of us. And I know somebody wants to ask now, well, why? But let me ask you to frame it one more time to what now? See, Jesus spoke on relationships quite a bit, and here's the deal. You and I were going to need people in order to live out what Jesus needs us to do. The thing I love about Jesus is he had a posse of people, and they believed him, they loved him, and you know what else Jesus had? He had a bunch of people who did not believe him, and they were called sinners, people distant from him. If you do not have these two people groups in your life, you are drastically missing what Jesus Christ wants for you. Some of us were really good with the Christian circle, but if you do not have sinners in your circle, people who do not know Jesus, let me ask you today, what are you doing? Because Jesus himself shows us this. So we're going to talk about that, of having those types of people in our lives, of which I am one as well. Jesus had different types of groups. He had groups of 70 around him, big groups, great groups. And this is where the invitation to doing something like church or maybe our encounter nights, bigger groups, it's great to be there. But then Jesus left the 70 over here and he kind of moved to a middle framework of 12. He called these 12 guys together and they were going to go change the world together. So he took the circle down. And I'm asking you this, where's your 12? Who's your 12? In fact, in 2 weeks from today, we're going to launch our connect groups here in the church for the fall season. Pastor James has been working hard on that. And if you have not yet got yourself attached to a connect group, now's your time. So we'll give you more of that. But then he took it further. He took them down to a group of three. They became his inner posse where he shared his life with them and he invested deeply. Who are your three? You could take it to a one. So many different things that are happening. Here's a great opportunity for Made for Connection. And this one is going to rattle some of your rhythms in the room here today. But I can't wait. We're going to rattle the cages a lot this year because it's time to listen to what society is telling us to do something different. Thanksgiving. Who likes Thanksgiving? Come on, everyone. I love Thanksgiving. Here's why I love Thanksgiving. Gravy. Everything's better with gravy. I'm going to have a gravy with some turkey in it, probably. Okay. But this is what we recognize about our church. We recognize that there are some people here right now, and you don't have family to do Thanksgiving with, period. And we want you to know that we see you today. And what we're doing in this emphasis is we want you to be able to do this with church family. So I'm asking you to go to the link if that's you today. And if you need a place to go eat for Thanksgiving, sign up. Now let me come to the rest of us who have the homes in which we could do this with, but oh, that's my family time, and that's, listen, I love family time too, but I'm asking you to sacrifice in this season. I'm asking you as well, if you've got a home where you could actually put someone around your table, will you do it this Thanksgiving? I can't wait to see who's coming to my home. This is about us doing this together. Well, they're a stranger, and I don't know. Who cares? Jesus sat at table with sinners and people he didn't know all the time. So for Thanksgiving, we're trying to do something different this year. I hope that you'll participate. In November, we're going to do a series all month long on the topic of hospitality. Did you know this about hospitality? Hospitality is not a suggestion. It's a command by God. And yet the church, for some reason, not all of us, but the church, for some reason, has lost its ability to be hospitable. We need to change that. We're going to bring a series back, and we're changing it because I did it 6 years ago, and the series was The Table Matters. But now we changed it to The Table Still Matters. COVID did some damage to us. It's time to reverse the curse. So we're going to go to hospitability in our lives. Let me introduce you to another friend of mine. His name is Lindsay Hodges. Lindsay Hodges is the executive director of Youth for Christ. In fact, if you were to jump through that window today, you will get to their office. Lindsay is great, him and his team, but there's one particular gentleman, his name's Claudio. Claudio has been working in the middle schools here in the West Shore. And what he's done specifically over at Spencer Middle School is he's placed a feeding program for students that could come and eat because they don't get this privilege and this luxury at home. And Pastor Levi is actually attending with Claudio. He's one of the faces that these kids see every single week. But over the last couple years, we've also been brought another school here in our community, CML, which is Center Mountain Laylam, which is over in the West Hills, and they do not have a feeding program. Well, guess what? Your 50 for 50 suggestions suggested that we go feed a bunch of students for an entire year. And so, with the help of Youth for Christ and the systems that they have, we're trying to lift their arms up so that they can keep doing their stuff. I'm telling you, College Church, your money, who is about to physically feed hundreds of students every single month for this entire year, because 50 for 50 in your generosity is going to make a way for hospitality in a way that is going to change somebody's life. And I'm speaking this in faith today, and students are going to come to Jesus because of your generosity today. I believe it. I believe it. Stand with me today. We're going to close this. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, Jesus is approached by this guy. And this guy looks at Jesus and he says, "What is the greatest commandment in the law?" To which Jesus decides to quote Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. And it says this on the screen. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That's the first part. That's the vertical. You got to love it. And then Jesus looks at this young gentleman in the face and he adds to the whole entire story by quoting Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. And he adds to it and he says, not only that, the second is equally as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. Do you notice the grammatical problem with that sentence? I mean, we expect Jesus to say that there is no commandment greater than this. But Jesus uses the word these. The grammatically incorrect but spiritually perceptive in Jesus' mind is that these relationships, vertical and horizontal, are inseparable when it comes to him. He's saying this, how you love God is how you love your neighbor, and how you love your neighbor is how you love God. When it comes to being made for more this year and made for more for connection, you cannot separate these two. You cannot say this is about God and only him. It's false, because if you do not love your neighbor as yourself, you break the greatest command that he is trying to offer us today. See, today you have been made for more and made for more for connection. So where could you be the person when it comes to your relationship with God that he's calling you today? Where can you be that person who doesn't want to be the saboteur anymore, but that could build the relationship of hospitality that is going to affect relationships? Please know, I am not asking you to be BFFs with everybody in this room. That's impossible and silly. But when you look at your neighbor, that you love them the way you love God, he doesn't separate them. They're one and the same thing to him. So may we walk out of this room today and into our week knowing that we have been made for more with God and with others. Made for more. May the Ruach of the Spirit of God breathe Zoe into your relationships, whatever you need as you walk into this week. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you came to this earth, you died for my sin, that I would know life and life abundantly. And because of that life, you invite me into a relationship with you, and you invite me into a relationship with others. And both are equally as important to you. And may I steward my relationships the way you need me to in this next season. So if there is something today, Father, where I need to grow and to have more shape in my life with, teach me is what I ask. And help me this week to walk in the Zoe life that you've called me to. And help me to do some deep work so that I could have healthy relationships in and around me. I love you, Jesus, and I give you thanks. And I ask it in your name. Amen. Now, perhaps today you're in this space. You've never asked Christ to be your Savior, your Lord. And I invite you to text the word 25, or text the word life, Zoe, to 250-478-713. And one of our pastors will be in touch with you. If you are brand new to our church, we're inviting you to First Steps. Through these doors, lunch is going to be happening in just a few moments. Or maybe you've been a part of the church for a really long time and you're just wanting to get plugged back in, jump in. Come have lunch with us as well. We want to tell you a little bit more about it. Make sure that you go say hi to one of the pastors in the back. If you haven't got your bracelets, you can get those because you've been made for more. Remind yourself of that. And there's only a few more t-shirts left. So first come, first serve on those things. Church, have a great week. Come join us for First Steps. We'll see you next week.